Introducing the man, the myth, the legend,
David Von Miller.
So let's see what we got for today. We're going to be interviewing our guest here, David Von Miller, who is the director of the HLSAMP program. You want to say hello to everybody?
Hello, and thank you for inviting me on today.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to have you. So we're going to do, you know, just Q&A session and get to know a little bit about HLSAMP, a little bit about you. So I guess the first question would be, what is HLSAMP?
HLSAMP is a National Science Foundation-funded program to help underrepresented and minority students to complete their undergrad degree and prepare them for graduate programs in STEM and careers in STEM.
Mm-hmm. So for a student wanting to apply to the program, where would they find more information?
On our website, on Texas State website, if you search HLSAMP, you can find the program. You can also come to the Collaborative Learning Center in Ingram Hall, 3202, and I'm happy to talk to students about the program. And in the hallway outside Ingram, 3202, outside the Collaborative Learning Center, is a digital sign, and one of these images on the sign is information about the program, including a QR code that'll take you to the application.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So can you share some things you'd like to see in an application or would make somebody stand out?
The ideal candidate for the program is a full-time STEM major, has a 3.0 Texas State GPA or higher,
mm-hmm.
Is active in student organizations, is actively pursuing research opportunities, actively looking for internship and co-op opportunities,
mm-hmm.
is someone who's trying to maximize all the benefits and opportunities available to them on campus,
mm-hmm.
And someone who wants to belong to a group of very interesting, very competitive, high-energy STEM majors and wants to be part of that community and wants to add their talents, their voice, their interests to the community.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You said kind of maximize the benefits of kind of being an undergrad and utilize the resources of Texas State. What are some resources you think students, even outside the program, can utilize?
So Texas State has a lot of new programs and services, including the space that we're in here in Alkek 1 is fairly new. I think this is the second year. So there's studios, there's a lot of space here to be creative. So I think this is a great space for STEM. The Collaborative Learning Center is a great resource for students for tutoring, as well as the computer lab there. Those are high-performance computers with the software that engineering students need for most of their classes. Faculty, the STEM faculty are great resources for students if they get to know their faculty, if they go to their office hours, develop a relationship with their faculty. Student organizations are a great place to meet other students who have shared interests and to find out about internship opportunities, volunteer opportunities. There's a new program I believe, started last fall called the Idea Center, which is also located here in Alkek 1. And so that office will help students find opportunities for undergraduate research.
Yeah, I think that's a really long, great list. But I think we should talk about like the magnitude of the resources we have available here. So like in comparison to your undergrad experience, what are some resources we have now that you wish you had?
Well, I graduated in December of 1981 from Texas A&M in Galveston. And there was nothing, it's really difficult to compare. Basically, there were no resources there. There were no academic advisors.
Whoa.
There was, research was more for grad students. As an undergrad, if I had gone and said I wanted to do research, people would have told me, well, you're too early. You need to complete your graduate degree or enroll in a master's program, and then you'll have research opportunities. There were maybe one or two student organizations because it was a small campus. There were about 1,000 students. A very specialized program focused on the, it was a Federal Maritime Academy.
Oh, wow.
So the focus there was to train you for careers in the marine industry, marine biology, marine transportation, marine engineering.
So if you could go back today, maybe they had a more filled out program like we have at Texas State. Do you think you'd try and do research in your undergrad career?
Yes, I would. I majored in marine biology, and looking back, you know, I didn't have a lot of confidence, and I didn't have anyone who was encouraging me to seek out opportunities for undergrad research or for student organizations or really for anything. My freshman year, they gave me a catalog that had all the courses outlined, and that was my guide for getting through the program. I had a counselor I could go to who helped me. So they had one person who was the financial aid counselor, your Whoa. Admissions counselor, your housing contact. So it was nice that it was one-stop shopping, but it was one person serving, you know, 1,000 students. But I did get a lot of help from that counselor. I think for me, looking back, it would have been nice to have an academic advisor to go to talk about my degree plan and what courses I needed to take next and what I needed to do to complete my degree.
Yeah, so that's a lot of different resources that we have available to us that you obviously didn't. that's I can't imagine what it'd be like. But going back to like HLSAMP, what benefit do you think students will have if they get into the program besides like a scholarship? You know, what will you get out of being a part of the program or the group?
So faculty mentoring is part of the program. So I think that's a big asset, is to develop a relationship with a faculty mentor who has volunteered and agreed to be a mentor for the program, to have someone student can go to talk not only about their current degree plan, but what their plans are for the future. Have someone who's completed a PhD and perhaps has worked in industry that you can talk to, bounce ideas off, tell them what your goals are, what your future aspirations are, and then to have them give you feedback and advice, I think is a great asset of the program. Then also, when you bring together a group of very intelligent, very driven and very curious people into a community, then there's a synergy that happens that I feel inspires the whole group. People develop friendships, and then this peer support that grows out of that is something I think is unique to the HLSAMP program, and it's difficult to find outside the program. Mm-hmm.
Those are both very good things, but I think there's some other things you could mention, like the Science Cafe. Would you agree that's a great benefit to a student?
Yes, and a lot of students, when I talk about the program and mention our film and book club, it immediately sparks interest in a lot of students. And it's one of my favorite activities of the program because I get to join the students in a discussion about an interesting film or book.
Yeah, so what are some books that we've read or some movies that we've watched together recently? So like last semester.
So the last book that we discussed was Clara and the Sun. And I can't remember the author's name, but he's a well-known author. And the last movie we watched was Inception, and before that, Prometheus. So to me, the films and the books were futuristic and discuss topics that are of interest to me, and that it's not your casual conversation to talk about artificial intelligence, technology in the future, and then the problems and challenges that people face in those times.
Which is interesting to see, especially from a present perspective, the futures we might have, right? Especially like in Prometheus or Clara and the Sun. I thought those were pretty interesting, just from a sense of having your own AI kind of friend, right? And I think we had some really good conversations around that, and we continue to, just because we bring together a lot of different people, a lot of different mindsets into one room. Jackson, did you have anything to say about that?
Yeah. I really have benefited a lot from the Science Cafe. I think apart from maybe a philosophy class, there's not really a space you get to talk about ideas like that, and you can share without feeling like you're talking about something you shouldn't be. So I think the Science Cafe is a really great benefit to the...
Yeah, like you're not going to have this conversation at what, like Sewell or was it Sewell Park?
Right. With a bunch of jocks over there.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some other benefits? You know, I think there's some more key ones that we're still missing out on here. Yeah.
Well, a big part of the program is providing peer tutoring for STEM courses in the Collaborative Learning Center. So I think that's very beneficial. From the feedback I get from HLSAMP students is the tutoring's very beneficial for them, as well as beneficial for students who are coming in and receiving the tutoring.
Yeah, I would agree for sure. I mean, I can just say for myself that I was very introverted and like didn't want to talk to anybody very much, especially during the pandemic. You know, I just kind of keep to myself. But after having to come out of my shell and be more extroverted to explain things and talk to different people, it's definitely gotten easier, and I do see the difference. And so what that's translated into is, you know, soft skills, you know, communication, collaboration, being able to work in a team or explain things in a different way.
Yes, and if you imagine yourself in a graduate program or in a career, you're going to have to collaborate with people, explain ideas, solve problems, and be able to explain yourself and your ideas to others. And I think another real benefit of the program is there's money, funding available for students to travel to professional and academic conferences.
Really?
Definitely.
So I think we have somebody here who can talk more about that, what it's like to travel to a conference. So Jackson, would you like to speak on traveling to North Carolina for the SHIP conference?
Yeah, yeah. So this is my second year being able to attend the SHIP conference, the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers. And it's really a whole new world when you get to an engineering conference like that. It's being surrounded by a group of not only just people your age, but people of all ages who are at different places in their career and who have different perspectives on what it's like to enter the job market, to go into, you know, further education, and what it's like once you get into the job market, trying to move up, and talk about, you know, different things like salary, how to navigate those complicated positions. And then there's also a career fair, which is a great opportunity, not just to be able to find a job opportunity, but to be able to practice those soft skills, speaking to recruiters, and
interviewing for sure.
Yeah, interviewing, trying to show off yourself. That's definitely a good practice to have.
Yeah, so what was your favorite thing about being at the conference? Was it the career fair? Was it meeting other students that are like-minded that are trying to get into industry or even go into graduate school is what it seemed like from all the schools they had there?
Yeah, so the career fair was really awesome, but I think I definitely enjoyed talking to the other students, mostly the upperclassmen who were kind of where I'm going to be later in life, and seeing how they got through where I'm at now, and just kind of getting some advice on what the next step should be. I think it was really beneficial.
Yeah, so David, after having been through the pandemic with us and now sending us off to different places to enjoy these experiences, what have you seen the changes in us? Like, how have we changed from when we first started to before we left and then after?
So during the program, really, all the benefits of the program, I feel, come through collaboration and being together, having conversations, doing some fun activities, social activities. So that was all absent before or during the pandemic. So beginning fall 21, students started traveling to conferences. And then last fall, it really hit the level, I feel, of pre-pandemic. And so it's really been great to see you all. I think there's more energy, more enthusiasm in the program, and students are finding opportunities for internships, to find an opportunity for research, really, is difficult through email or Zoom. If you can go talk to a professor and have that one-on-one interaction, it's just a better way to reap the benefits of the program. And so, and I've seen the difference in all of you and your enthusiasm, your participation. During the pandemic, I did things like a STEM trivia Zoom hour, and then I would have just a Zoom meeting, kind of a check-in, how are you doing, discuss things. So usually I would have four or five people show up, sometimes one or two. And so now when we do something, almost everyone is there. And so, as I mentioned earlier, that synergy of being together, that also draws people. and just the idea of being able to interact personally is really what the events are about, whether it's our Amped Up on Coffee social, or attending a conference, or getting involved in research. It's being able to do that in person, it's night and day compared to during the pandemic.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely see a difference too. I'm definitely more enthusiastic about going kayaking or going to Amped Up than being on a Zoom, but I think that's everybody, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Including me.
Yeah, so I think after talking about the benefits, why don't we look ahead, right? What future goals do you have for the program?
So I think a lot about expanding the program as how can we get more students into the program. Currently, I have funding for 24 students. So that's a big challenge. I would like to see my vision of that would be a replication of what we have into different units or pods.
Maybe even different departments.
Yeah, and different departments.
So we could have like HLSAMP Electrical Engineers or HLSAMP Biology.
Yeah.
Which would be really exciting.
Yeah. So I think a lot about, well, how can that, what would that look like, and where would the funding come from?
Yeah.
And I've seen in the last couple of years, there are other similar programs. The PREM SEMA program is one. U-RISE is another program where it's not, they don't have maybe the closeness or the variety of activities we do, but it's a similar model where students get together, they have research opportunities, they have mentoring, and they have someone to talk to about their future goals and to kind of help guide them to achieving what they want to achieve.
I think that was beautifully said. I think those are great goals, actually. I think the more the merrier, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you have a lot of high-achieving students here at Texas State who I bet would love to be part of the program.
Yeah, and it's such a great program. I feel the benefits are obvious. And it's, to me, I think if education could be delivered this way to all students, then everyone would benefit. And I think our society and culture would benefit greatly as well.
You know, I definitely agree. I think when you have a more inclusive environment where you're able to collaborate, definitely does cause that synergy. And so I think people would get more out of undergrad in general if they could participate.
Yeah, I agree, 100%.
Yeah, but let's rewind a little bit and bring it back to the present. I want to know what you'd like to see from current HLSAMP students, like what we could do and contribute.
Well, I think you already are. So I'm constantly amazed by what you all do, your creativity, your imagination. This podcast is an example. I wouldn't have thought of this. And
But so here we are.
Yeah, it's an idea that you came up with, and then you followed through, and now we're doing it. And so the creativity's there, the imagination's there, the synergy is there. So I just really enjoy watching you all do your thing. And I can't think of anything that I would expect more of you, that I could expect more from you. You're very active, you're participating, you're coming up with all these great ideas and experiences. So yeah.
Do you think you could talk a little bit about the HL Stamp Advisory Board and how that kind of got started.
Yeah, so that started last fall in a conversation with one of our HL Stamp scholars, Edgar Torres. And it was an idea that he had to give students some leadership opportunities, leadership training in a way. And after talking with him, then the ideas that came to me were, well, this group can give me feedback on the program and the activities. And also the juniors and seniors in the program could then mentor the new students coming into the program. Since I'm the only administrator in the program, I felt that would give students more opportunity to give feedback and also to get information and assistance if I wasn't available, or if they, maybe the new students are coming in, they're not quite sure what the program's about, they're kind of getting acclimated to the program, and some of them I think are reluctant to come directly to me at times. So to have another student in the program they know they can go to and ask questions, I think is valuable. And then to have a space where they could speak honestly about the activities and the program that maybe they would be reluctant to share directly with me, that they would feel more comfortable sharing to their peers.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. I can just speak from my own experience here. Having an alumni mentor you has been a little bit more beneficial, I think, from an industry perspective and kind of a more recent graduate perspective of what to expect out in the real world, right? Because going into graduate school has always been the goal for me personally, but in more recent times, I definitely want to go to industry first and see how that looks like and see what skills I can gain first, then go super technical and get a graduate degree, because that model is more beneficial to me now than if I was strictly academic, right? And sorry, hearing that from my mentor right now, Miguel, it's kind of been eye-opening. What his insight he can give me after having worked in industry for a year has been more insightful than I think what some faculty members could have told me out of their 30 plus years of experience.
Yeah, and another goal of mine is to recruit more HL Stamp alumni to serve as mentors for students in the program. Many of them have worked in industry, so I think their experience, their feedback's really valuable. If they've been working 3, 4, 5 years, if they've gone to graduate school, they know what the program's about, they've been through it, and so I think they have a lot to offer, and I'm really excited about that possibility. So the students I've contacted and asked to be mentors, they just, without hesitation, agree to.
Why do you think that is?
They all speak highly of HL Stamp, and the program meant a lot to them while they were finishing their undergrad. So I feel there's just this natural inclination to want to give back and to support students who are going through the program, just like they did.
Especially after something like this program propels you so much, right? Propels you to get you to that next step where you're able to achieve even more.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, you put me in contact with Andrew, and he told me that he credits all of his success now to being part of the HL Stamp program.
Wow. So, oh, okay, great.
Really, it really speaks to the magnitude of what it can do to undergrad.
Yeah, I wanted to switch gears here, switch from talking about the program strictly to more about you, because this first episode really is about you David, the man, the myth, the legend, Von Miller, right? So what about your time in college? I wanted to hear more about that, what that was like, how long did it take you to complete, what your major was again, and your experience overall.
So it was difficult for me to complete my undergrad. It took me 7 years. I first enrolled in college at the University of Arkansas in 1974. And the people that I associated myself with were not that serious about academics. It was more about partying and having a good time, but also really self-discovery for many of us. It was the first time on our own, out of the house, without our parents being involved in our lives. And then after 3 years there, I was not doing well. And then my father passed away. So that was kind of a wake-up call to me of, okay, I need to get my act together. And if I want a college degree, I'm going to have to focus and basically change my study habits, but also the realization of the people that I hung out with. So, you know, I feel like I would have benefited greatly from a program like HLSAMP, where I had a group of peers that were really focused on their academics and achieving the most, you know, achieving at a high level and getting the most out of their college experience. I think probably would have shaved a couple years off of my college career. But I really enjoy my college career. I can't say that I I don't really have any regrets. I think the struggles I went through really prepared me for life after college.
Yeah, so that was kind of leading into my next question then was, so you went to industry first, correct?
Yes.
And so how did going straight into industry versus going straight into a graduate program kind of help you figure out life?
So the Texas A&M at Galveston is a federal maritime academy. Mm-hmm. So the focus was preparing students, preparing me for a job in marine transportation. So the first job I got was in the oil field in the Gulf of Mexico, working on a supply boat. And when I graduated, I took a Coast Guard exam and I got a third mate license. So to work in industry, you need some kind of Coast Guard credentials. And so a third mate is the lowest level of officer on a ship. So you have a third mate, a second mate, a chief mate, and then you have a captain. It's a kind of job where you can learn some things about the job, but you actually have to do the job to learn it. So then to get on a dredge or a supply boat and not having had any real life experience was pretty intimidating and challenging for me, but I had some great mentors there that helped me, that I'm very grateful for. And so then once, you know, and to know that, okay, this person can help me, made all the difference. Because I was operating heavy machinery, I was piloting a boat, and so if you make a mistake, you could injure someone, could get injured, and you could do significant damage to the vessel and other structures. So it was a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
So really grateful for those mentors that mm-hmm. I had.
I was going to ask you... So what kind of lessons did you learn doing dredging, or maybe from your mentors?
I think for me is to have confidence, not to be afraid that I couldn't do something just because it looked difficult or because maybe I failed or didn't do the job well the first time. So I think I learned persistence and to believe in myself. Oh yeah, I can do this. You know, I see that person doing it. So for me, it's, I just need experience and practice. And then I can also do it.
I think that's some good tips right there. What do you have to say, Jackson, about that?
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of students entering industry kind of feel. It's like you've studied so long and you expect to kind of go in and know how to do everything. And then you get there and everything's way different than what you studied. So it can definitely be intimidating. But I like what you said about finding a mentor, someone there who can really push you to push your boundaries and try to make you, you know, try out new things. And once you, when you do, you realize that it's not as hard as it looked on the outside. And you have a lot more potential than you really think you do sometimes.
Yeah, well said.
Oh, thank you.
For sure. Yeah, so David, I wanted to ask you too. So you're on a boat, right? So you've had to go a few places. Did you ever have to travel overseas?
Yeah, so my junior year at the Maritime Academy, I got a job with a mobile oil company, which is now part of Exxon. So I worked all summer on a tanker. And so we went up and down the East Coast, Delaware, New Orleans. Then we went through the Panama Canal, went up to the Port of Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And then my senior year, I got a job on a Liberian freighter and went to West Africa. So went to Liberia, the Ivory Coast, Ghana, Zaire, and Cameroon.
Yeah, so you've been more places than I think anybody else we know have. What can you say about your travels and how's that kind of expanded your mindset about being here even?
Well, I met, especially on the Liberian freighter, the crew were African, Filipino, and one person was from Yugoslavia, another person was from Singapore, and I was the only American on board. So I feel that benefited me. Again, it was very intimidating, challenging for me. But then, you know, after I got to know these people, and some of them became good friends of mine, and again, the willingness to help me, and then just the interest in learning about their culture and their interest in learning about me as an American, there's a lot of, you know, I realize there's a lot of stereotypes. And particularly most people in Africa thought I was rich because I was American. They didn't understand I was just a cadet on that ship. I was just a college student. Basically, I think I had $200 to my name for that whole summer. But also to see the comparison, like that's a lot back then, that's a lot of money. And for someone living in Africa who had nothing, basically. And, you know, it taught me a great respect and appreciation for other cultures and helped me to break down or to be aware of stereotypes of other countries, other cultures, and to be able to experience it in person to know, well, those are just stereotypes. They're not the reality.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of expanded the reality for you in the sense that it's real. It's not some made-up stereotype or fantasy that people think that exists in movies or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, what else did you learn on your travels? Did you learn anything about yourself in particular, or did you learn anything maybe about the world?
Yeah, so I think the first word came to mind was just trust. Like, I can do this, I can navigate this. I flew home alone from, I started in Cameroon and flew through Paris, then to LaGuardia in New York City, then back to Houston, Texas.
That's a lot of flights.
It took a couple days, and I was in places where the people didn't speak English and I didn't speak their language, but I was still able to communicate. And most people in the world are helpful. I think I came back from that trip with, even though I was a stranger to them, they would help me out. And I met strangers over there that I was happy to help out as well. So I hadn't really thought about that too much till right now with your question.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, your answer restored some of my faith in the world for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's within most people, is this willingness to help others in need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree definitely. I think there's a few self-help books that mention that. It's called like the Do First Principle. Like, everybody is a nice person, but you should introduce yourself first and then start the conversation, right? Everybody's has this shyness to them.
Yeah, especially if you're in a different culture, it's magnified more than, you know, being in Africa is different than being here in the U.S. Maybe being in a different city where you don't know anyone in the U.S., it's just, if you're in a different country, in a different culture, it's just magnified.
Yeah.
But facial expressions, smiling, mm-hmm. your gestures, your body language communicates just as well sometimes as language.
Interesting.
And you can, then they know, you know, oh, you're friendly, you're trying to make contact, oh, you need assistance. And really with hand gestures and your facial expression, you can say a lot, and they'll be able to help you, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's eye-opening. Thanks for that insight. Kind of going to the last question here. Whenever we think about David, a lot of us think about exploration of the self. You know, you're always reading something, whether it be like the Book of Life or even the Genius Myth before it became our book club book. That's what we think of, exploration of the self. So how did that start? Like, what happened that made you kind of get into that, and even how our current book reflects on that?
So I think coming out of high school and going to college, one of the reasons I really enjoyed college was this freedom and meeting other people, and then trying to figure out, well, who am I? Where do I fit in here? And what am I supposed to be doing? Like, choosing a major was kind of the first big decision that would kind of guide what I saw as my future. And so I didn't really know. It was a difficult decision. I wanted to be a marine biologist, but there was no marine biology major. So I chose zoology and really struggled with that. That was a very difficult major there. And then after college, you know, I felt like I did all the right things. You know, I had a good job. I had a nice place to live. I lived within my means. I didn't spend more money than I made. I lived in a beautiful place, Pensacola Beach, Florida, but I wasn't happy. You know, I didn't know what my purpose in life was for. I didn't really know who I was. I was just doing what I thought was expected of me. And so then in my 30s, I had a midlife crisis, is what my generation calls it, an identity crisis where, you know, I became quite depressed and I was drinking a lot. I was using drugs and I didn't know who I was and I had no direction really in life. I felt like, okay, I achieved what, you know, I got a good job. And I had a nice place to live. Now what? You know, like, what am I here for? And so I went to counseling. I got individual therapy. I did group therapy. I read self-help books. I went to Codependence Anonymous, like a 12-step group. And adult children of alcoholics. And so, you know, I was able to get in groups with other people basically going through the same identity crisis, is what I would call it. And so that was in my mid-30s, and so I'm still searching, still looking, but I feel like my life then is more meaningful to me. And I feel like just asking those questions, who am I? You know, the four existential questions, who am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? So I feel just asking those questions and searching for those answers starts leading you towards meaning and answers for your life.
Wow, that is some heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. Would you say you found some kind of fulfillment for being director of HLSAMP or being a husband or even a father?
Oh yes, all of those experiences. You know, just this is the best job I've ever had, and I feel very privileged and grateful for the opportunity. And every day I enjoy coming to work. I have to say, 5 or 6 years ago, I was planning my retirement and thinking, okay, when I get to this point, I'm done. And now I just come to work and I'm more thinking, wow, how long can I do this? Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we really appreciate that, you know, your life has led you here. You know, it's a great pleasure to have you as the director.
Yeah. No, it's a blessing for sure. I'm really grateful that our paths have been intertwined.
Well, thank you. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So we're about on time. It's 1:51. We can go ahead and wrap it up here, or if you have any closing comments, we can go ahead and talk about that.
Well, I would just like to say to our listeners out there, if you're a STEM major and you're interested in our program, you like what you've heard, please apply. And the application is open now. It closes April 28th. And come join a great group of people.
For sure.
Yeah. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to me. My name is Jackson Castillo.
Or me, Timothy Mirage. We're both current HLSAMP members and have been kind of veterans for a while now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you both for having me.
Yep.
Enjoyed our conversation.
For sure. And, thank you, David.
Appreciate you doing this podcast. Yep.
Thank you, Jackson, for being our technical host. And thank you, David, for coming and being here today.
Yep. You're welcome. Enjoyed it.
Signing off.
See you later.